Reading from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Moses and his burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, bring your word to life as ever for us this day. Through your Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. One Saturday, 20-odd years ago, I contacted someone for the first time and arranged to meet them. I went to, drove my car to go and meet them, parked the car, and first saw them under the light of a lamp, a street lamp. It turned out to be a meeting which changed the course of my life. That was when I met Heather. My missus, your vicar. This was one of those life-changing moments in the story we heard. For Moses, the day which is going to change the course of his life. I mean, bushes must have caught fire. Perhaps not often, but probably wasn't that rare in the arid and hot climate of the Arabian Peninsula. But Moses was really intrigued because the bush seemed to be hiding a person. In our translation we read today, it says an angel. Well, in the Hebrew word it was written in, an angel's fine. But it's deep, it's got a bigger meaning than that. It means an angel, a helper, a messenger. And in one translation I read from a very scholarly person, it just said God's aid. Anyway, somebody from God was kind of in this bush seemed to be burning. So you can imagine being Moses being pretty intrigued. The bush was probably some one of these tough, spiky things you get in the desert. But in any case, it was resisting being incinerated. But then God's aid angel seems to depart the scene, and God himself communicates with Moses directly. And you all know, I bet you all know this story very well, calling him by his name, Moses, Moses. And then God comes out with a synopsis of a plan he has. And it's a cracker of a plan. Absolute cracker. It involves the oppressed rising up and gaining their freedom. It involves doing what massive armies in that region failed to do very often, which was outmaneuver the Egyptian army. And then even after that, they were going to go on and claim and conquer a land, an economically very affluent land in the region, and form a new nation. So it was a cracking plan God had. If you were a Hollywood director at the time or something, it'd be a fantastic script for a film. I think it has been, hasn't it? Charlton Heston, probably. I don't know. He usually played all those things, didn't he? So there's a burning bush, there's an angel from God, there's God speaking and calling Moses. The bush doesn't burn away. It's like, oh, there's amazing things. Moses, what are you thinking? Oh, blimey, what's going on? So what does Moses say? He says, God, what's your name? What a stupid thing to say. It's a bit like, you know, they all line up for the Queen when she comes and gives her OBEs and they all. It'd be like the Queen getting to you, shaking hands, and you saying to her, by the way, who are you? What's your name? Well, actually, Moses' question is not as daft as it sounds, really, because at the time there were people perceived gods all over the place, many and varied and in different towns and places and all with fanciful names. I mean, in those days, we in sophisticated Stanyan would have probably had a god in each of our homes, a different one, just for us. Anyway, God, if God thought it was a daft question, he didn't say that to Moses. Far too kind. But God gives him what appears to be the broadest name you can imagine. He says, I am who I am. That's my name. And again, in the Hebrew word, because they had less words in ancient Hebrew, but they had more layers to them, depending on the context. Anyway, I am who I am. You could easily translate this, I will be who I will be. I will do what I will do. I am here. It's got all those things, all those options to it. It's a word that can be universal. I am. Everywhere, all the time. Wherever and whenever. But it can be personal. I am with you, and you, and you, and me. In fact, if you remember the end of Matthew's gospel, it's one of the last things that Jesus says before he returns to his Father. He says, go and make disciples of all nations and remember. Or I think it's lo in the old translations. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So I just thought, a little time reminding ourselves what we learn from this story for our times. And there's a few things. There's loads, but there's a few. First of all, there's life beyond this one. Because God says to Moses, I am who I am. But he says, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. And Jesus himself quotes this as a way of explaining that God is the God of the living, not the dead. And the living include those who have passed on before. they're with God in the same, in a different way, but just as we are. So there's life beyond this one. The other thing is God communicates with people. And I believe he still does. He must do. Because God is God. But what I noticed is God communicates directly with Moses in this thing. I'm not saying that's common. But God communicates with Moses only after Moses has made a response. First of all, there's God's aid or angel there. And there's this burning bush to attract him. But he could have walked on by. He could have thought, oh, didn't really see that. Or, oh, I bet when I come back, that bush will be completely burned out, no problem. He stopped and looked and searched and wanted to know what was going on. Crucial if we want to hear God, that we look and listen and search and not just expect God to write it in words on the back wall there. So what we got? So the God of the living, the God who communicates, the God who has plans. And I guess God could just do what he wanted, really. But God includes people in his plans. He did then, and he still does now. And I wonder if this might be a... I don't know. I have a feeling this might be a real lesson to us now. In this, as we get post this pandemic, there'll be so many things that have changed and are up in the air. And who knows? What a time for God to do something new, to have a new plan. I'm not telling you that, I don't know. But if so, it still requires us, like Moses, to put our hands up and say, I'm in, I want to be part of it. It's quite a lot in a little story, isn't there? And then there's the fact that God... I mean, we talk about God's love, as the New Testament talks about it, being profound, and God is, especially in Jesus, friend. But God also deserves a lot of proper respect. And he directly communicates with Moses, doesn't he? But he says, take off your shoes. He makes him do something to remember that this is not an everyday occurrence. You're on holy ground here. So it's the God of the living, it's a God who communicates, a God of plans, and a God who chooses to be our friend, but is to be respected. I could go on all day here, but this is my biggest one. We jump to the New Testament. Jesus saw his life as one which was to show and illustrate to us all what God is like. Which is why in John's Gospel, he picks up so much on the word, I am. Because he knew what that would mean to the people listening. He was quite subtle about it. He didn't keep saying, I am who I am. But he said many things, didn't he? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection, I am the life, I am the way, the truth and the life, I am the vine. In the minds of the people listening, oh yeah, that's something to do with God. Jesus saw in himself that in his life was an illustration of just what God was like. So that's what Heather said, but we were going to have a series of talks. That's what they themes. That's what they're going to be on, the I am sayings in John's Gospel, just to build on what was said to Moses. I am who I am. Now I know we don't meet every week in each building, so we're going to record the talks, and I'll put them online, and you can listen to them or download them. And if you can't do any of that, just let Heather know, and I'll put them on a CD or something. But it'd be good if we all took part in just thinking again, afresh, about the nature and the character of God. So I'll finish with a small piece from the Gospel, which Heather quoted earlier. So here's today's Gospel reading, John chapter 8, verses 56 to 58. Now Jesus had been in quite a heated debate with people who were saying, basically saying, "Who the heck do you think you are?" This is what he said. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham." "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." This is the Gospel of Christ. Amen.